Well, hello, and thank you for joining us for this podcast. It's a delight to be with you and to have the opportunity to share with you a little bit about what's happening in our celebration of Holy Week and what's coming. We wanted to do this podcast to communicate with you the importance, really the centrality of the death and resurrection of Jesus and the really focus of his life and of all of history, and also to explain a little bit of what we're doing as a congregation now to have that impact your life and its place in history. And I'm delighted to have Dr. Johnny with me.
Hey.
Welcome here.
Thanks, Dr. Rob.
And we're looking forward to hearing from you how we can, as a congregation, God's people at Cloverdale Baptist Church, anyone else who listens, live in such a way that this celebration, this Holy Week, this preparation for it is not just something we do once a year, but something that once a year reorients our life around what Jesus has done for us, who Jesus is, and of course, he is our risen Savior.
Absolutely. And that's the rhythm of the calendar points us in that direction. It's a useful tool for us to have that every year we come around to this time of year where we remember the story of Jesus and all that was accomplished by his suffering, his death, and of course, his resurrection. And it's by reliving these things in a sense that we get to revisit that story. If I can use the word, it immerses us in the story when we come and we worship and we hear that story read from Scripture and we sing the songs about it and we hear the preaching about this and just the exhortation to embracing that. It immerses us in that story and we experience it along with believers who have passed and believers who will be coming. It's a beautiful thing. There's a word, and this is what I love to use. It's a Greek word called anamnesis. It's an action whereby we remember. The Lord's table is the ultimate act of anamnesis. It's what the word is in 1 Corinthians 11 when he says, remember. He says, anamnesis me. And it's the opposite of amnesia, which means to forget. Anamnesis means to remember. So we're remembering.
I like that. And I think it's so important. And I actually think sometimes we in our cultural setting as Baptists and whatever tradition we're from in this kind of setting, forget the importance of the church calendar. And I think you've done some work on that. You've done some of your doctoral work on that. What are the highlights of the church calendar to help us be those who remember?
Well, we've, in an evangelical background, landed on a couple of the ones that the early church focused on, and not quite, actually. The earliest great celebration was the celebration of the resurrection, which took place every Lord's Day. And that is why Easter eventually, if I can use the term Easter—
Where does that term Easter come from?
It actually was applied to the celebration of the resurrection in the Middle Ages. There was a pagan god named Østri. My accent might not be very good. And so the pagans would make offerings to this god of renewal. And of course, the Christians, as they had done with the celebration at Christmas, well, if you're giving us a holiday, we're going to show you who the real Son of Righteousness is on Christmas Day because it is Jesus, the risen Son. And so they did the same thing with when this celebration, or what they could call this celebration, and the name actually carries the meaning we impart to it. We think of Easter not as an offering to a pagan god, but as a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. So if we can call it resurrection, we can go back to the early church's word, which was Pascha, from where we get the word passion, yeah. The passion of the Christ.
I even like Holy Week. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think the word has the definitions that we give it as a culture and as a church culture. And perhaps Easter isn't very good in our culture because it means the coming of the Easter bunny and getting chocolate eggs and all of those things. And so maybe Holy Week or something that actually defines it in a way that it's central to what we want to celebrate is even wiser. But I have no issue with people calling it Easter either.
Yeah, I like that idea of trying to pull it away from some of the cultural narratives as well and to highlight the fact that it's the resurrection. And that was a key point in the early church. They actually used that week, the Pascha week, to remember that resurrection in a beautiful way. And it was a time where they had a lot of baptisms as well, because you're dying to yourself, raised to new life in Christ. The symbolism was remarkable. And of course, they celebrated Epiphany, not Christmas early on, but Epiphany, which was the unveiling of his deity, just in early January. And they would tell the story in between. If you go to the church, they would read through the lectionary, and they would read the gospel story of Jesus' life right up through until his suffering. You know, they eventually attached Lent, this season of preparation for baptism was what it was at Easter. And then from that point on, they would celebrate from Easter all the way to Pentecost, the birth of the church, and they would have celebration, 50 days of celebrating, whereas the liturgicists Liturgists would say that, during the time of Lent, you don't sing any hallelujahs. And it's at Easter morning, resurrection morning, you begin to sing the hallelujahs because Christ is risen. And we have that antiphonal saying, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You're a liturgist.
I am at heart. And I think for me, we long to be a people who are driven and defined by our relationship with Jesus. And so often in the modern way, we get caught up in the world and we forget the central parts of the story that should define our stories. And I think these reminders, and really maybe even a return to doing it more profoundly, is important, not because we just tie into history, although I think that's helpful as well, but because this is the story we want to define our lives. This is a story we want to share. And we need the reorientation because the world invades and the word sometimes is slipped into secondary and even sometimes further behind. And we end up immature and surface rather than deep and tied to who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and that intimacy of relationship with him and the power of the Spirit.
I think that's really important, and I think it's quite profound, too. And something you mentioned about Holy Week struck me in that I think it's helpful when we celebrate out the major dates of Holy Week. We're going to start with Palm Sunday and immerse ourselves a little bit in the idea of Jesus coming to Jerusalem to be proclaimed king, but not as the people were expecting. And then we will do Good Friday, where we focus on his death and his suffering and sacrifice. And then the joy of Sunday morning, where we can celebrate the resurrection. And it does help us to kind of journey with Jesus and to understand how the early church journeyed and how we can journey. And all of this, the church calendar is not implicitly a do this in Scripture. It's actually a helpful discipleship kind of program that it's a spiritual discipline, much like fasting is. You know, these are things that can help us reorient, as you put it, and that's a great step for renewal.
And I think we need it maybe more than ever before in my pastoral ministry, because so often what's going on in the world, and there's lots going on in the world, can be such a distraction to the greatness of God and the greatness of his story. So I think powerful for us to do and essential for us to do. I think we're also overflowing this year. We're going to carry on the celebration of Holy Week with what does it just mean to be radically devoted to God? What does it mean to have the discipline as an overflow of the delight in the story and the intimacy with God? And then we're going to end that with our Pentecost service as well, which is a call to mission, a call to live here on earth in a way that witnesses to others of the greatness of God and who he is. So how about in terms of what we sing and in how we engage in terms of our worship, the invitation of God to us, our response, and then the interaction with the word, and then the going, sending into community. How will we sharpen that during this Holy Week?
People will note that many of our services have a kind of a fourfold structure in them.
Did you notice I just gave it?
Yeah,
I tried to.
Yeah,
was I close?
Yeah. The Lord calls us
to
worship. There
I'm
we go.
Learning.
It's him calling us together. It's not, worship's not our big idea. This is God's big idea for relationship. And so he calls us to worship. He speaks to us through his word. We speak to him in our prayers. We respond back to him with creeds or with songs or with prayers or with in the table of the Lord. And then very importantly, though it's a small part of that service, he sends us. That's what a benediction is all about. It's not just a, oh, bless you, and you're dismissed. It's actually you are dismissed. You are sent to mission. That's where we get the word dismiss.
I think that pattern is so helpful because, again, we don't want to be coming and watching a performance. We want to be coming and interacting with our glorious God,
yeah.
Interacting with one another and community, connecting, and then being sent to actually make a difference in this world. The church, the local church, is God's plan A, and there is no plan B.
Hearty amen from this side of the microphone.
and
we need each other in wonderful community like this. And especially in the seasons we've been walking through, there's been a lot of pain and hurt. And for Darlene and I, coming into this community in the first few months, we're discovering the beauty of what it's like to have brothers and sisters around us in the faith to support us through different situations. Not that we didn't have community before, but when you leave a church and you're disconnected for a time, you kind of drift a little bit. And that can be dangerous because you can lose your connection with the body of Christ. And though we are always immersed and baptized into the universal body of Christ, the local body is where God makes himself. He works through his people. and the spiritual gifts.
I can't agree more. I think so often we talk about the church universal when in actual fact, most of the New Testament focuses on the local church, the place where we put into action the one another's, and even the reminder as we are of Holy Week and living that out. And I think my encouragement for the people that are listening is that we would use this truly as, if we want to use that word again, a reorientation, just a reminder of the greatness of who Jesus is, what he has done, the mission he's called us to, and that we're sent ones, and that we would start or continue or sharpen or deepen our living out of that so that we'd be holy and loving and live in such a way that others see in our lives, in our love for one another, the greatness and glory of what Jesus has done for us.
Amen. So we're going to try and focus people's attention with a few little things in the services. If you just take note of one small little thing, we're going to use color on the cross to identify Palm Sunday and the preparation. We're going to use another color for Good Friday. We're going to use another color for Resurrection Sunday. Reorienting myself from trying to find
I think we mean that language. So yeah. when you say Easter Sunday, I don't have a problem with that. I think we know what we mean. I just think helpful for our culture. No, I love that. And I think as you're listening to this, we hope that you can even begin to prepare your hearts. I would recommend that you take the time and you read through the story in one of the Gospels. They all carry it. It's all powerful. And maybe even read all four, focused in on how Jesus prepared them. Some powerful stuff if you start in John 13 and read to the end of the chapter, really any of the Gospels. Mm-hmm. Is there any other way you would recommend as our people get prepared to celebrate this incredibly important week? Well, really more than that for us, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, some people like to do things like fasting and fast from something. It doesn't have to be food. Some people have a tremendous need to keep their blood sugar up or things like that.
But you got to get my blood sugar down.
Exactly. I know people who will fast from television for a time, or they'll fast from, this or that, or they'll wake up 15 minutes early on Holy Week and just spend a bit more time in the scriptures and in prayer. And part of it is we must remember that instead of just praying for ourselves, we must remember to pray for others. But I do like the pattern we set for prayer if we just apply it, where we come through adoration and then confess our need and our sin to the Lord, let him renew us, and thanksgiving for what he's done, and then our needs at the end. But also the Lord's Prayer becomes an incredible tool for us to model our prayers after, as you taught us last summer.
No, I think that's so important, and maybe that's a good place for us to end. What we really want is for us to believe the very core of who we are, that God is real and that God is relevant. And this celebration of Holy Week and what's beyond is a reminder of that, and the opportunity for all of us not just to have a wonderful time with family. We always do that. We mm-hmm. always have a wonderful meal and wonderful time. Now we have a grandbaby, so I'm sure we'll be hiding chocolate Easter eggs for our good old Eloise. But so important for us all that we would use this opportunity. And I love your idea of 15 minutes. May I challenge you, God's people at Clover Baptist Church, would you take 15 minutes extra a day, starting when you hear this, and spend the time in prayer, prayer for your own heart and life, but also prayer for us as a leadership team, prayer for the church. Johnny, I also want to take the time just to say it's been a true privilege to have you here. Your maturity, your love for God, the spiritual gifts he's given you are a tremendous blessing and have been a blessing to God's people. So thank you, and thank you for joining me.
It's a real joy.
And God's blessings as we get ready for Holy Week.